Welcome to the healing power of your dreams on UK Health Radio with your dream divas, Teresa Chung
and Kelly Sullivan Walden. Each week, along with our recurring dream guest presenters and special guests, we'll explore the healing potential of your intuition by day and your dreams by night.
So join us
live each week
and let's discover the unexpected together.
Deep in your heart. When the world gets loud and the daylight steals my soul, I close my eyes and let the deeper river flow. Every fear I've carried, every wound I try to hide, finds a sacred language in the silence of the night. There's a wisdom in the darkness, there's a light behind the veil. Every symbol, every story leaves a breadcrumb trail.
Kelly, we literally just heard the words, the miracle while you sleep. And I have to say that line gets me every single time I hear it, partly because I absolutely adore the theme song for our show, The Healing Power of Our Dreams, that it was composed by your talented hubby, Kelly, but mostly because it captures something I believe dreams are constantly trying to teach us. So much of what matters in life happens beneath the surface, out of sight, and often long before we can see any results. That's why I think it's the perfect theme song for our show.
I couldn't agree more. In fact, every time I hear that line, the miracle while you sleep, I find myself thinking about, well, there's something about how impatient we humans are about wanting what we want. We're all like little Veruca Salts from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I want it, and I want it now, Daddy. We want immediate answers, immediate progress, immediate evidence that something is working. And, you know, sometimes dreams have a different timeline, whatever. So we kind of have to surrender. We have to be a little, we have to defer. So they seem so understandable that growth needs a little bit of darkness, like the seeds in the darkness. They can't grow unless there's some of that incubation, a little mystery before they can emerge into light.
And I hope all this talk about darkness is actually quite cooling for people, especially in the UK right now, because we're going through this heat wave.
Right.
But, you know, I do love our theme song, though, Kelly. I am addicted to it. And my appreciation for it may well have crossed over into obsession because I'm sleep singing it. And every time I listen to it, I discover a new lyric, a new meaning I love.
Oh, I have to say I'm right there with you. And I feel like we're doing like this really awful tease for people because we're gushing about our song, but it's not available. Everybody's like, well, when can I get it? When's it going to be on Spotify? I'm like, oh, hang in there. Just like with our dreams that we want to come true, we don't get them right away. It's coming out though very, very soon. But we've been able to hear it. I've been obsessing over it, checking my phone, listening over more than is normal. And I'm not just saying that because my husband wrote this song. I might end up being the song's very over enthusiastic publicist, but I have to say my agent and her daughter listened to it yesterday, and they talked about the entire choreography. So they've already choreographed our music video, Teresa.
Oh, let's go into that. Yes, listeners or listener, if you're still with us and haven't collapsed with the heat, we are going to be doing a video with hopefully the entire Dream Team. So you can
Yes.
just enjoy us doing our Kate Bush expressionist performance of it. And I hope it brings a bit of laughter to you as well as helping you tune into the message of the song, which is the healing hidden wisdom of your dreams. We are going to embrace the full Dream Diva experience, aren't we, Kelly, when we do that?
Oh, absolutely. And I want to say, I guess for now, the only way people can listen to the song is to listen to the show. So that's not a bad thing because we're playing it before the show. But we're not going to have just like a sensible music video where we're just kind of walking down the street, kind of
Oh, not
lip
sensible
syncing.
at
Oh
all.
no, we're talking full Hollywood. We're talking
Yes.
Moonlight. We're talking like Disney's going to get jealous. We're going to have
Yes.
symbolism. We're going to have all the elements, the moon, the stars. We're
Our
going to have
inner
like,
dream diva is coming out to play, everyone.
oh yeah, or Eurovision is going to like come
Absolutely.
after us.
Do you know, I feel a bit like we're like that wonderful Billy Mack character, the aging rock star who fully understands his song is a bit over the top, but commits to it so fully with absolute comic sincerity because he believes in the joy of it. And this song,
I love
everyone who
that.
listens to it smiles. That's all we can want, isn't it?
I'm feeling Christmas in my bones.
Dreaming
Christmas
in your
in my,
bones.
exactly. That's, I love Love Actually. So we're gonna have to do a little nod back to that around Christmas time. But the Billy Mack character is definitely my
It's all
favorite.
about
He's
dreamafesting, which you, of course, are the best-selling author of, aren't you? We are dreamafesting this song to be global,
It totally,
which
yeah.
brings us to today's theme because we're
Oh,
exploring
yes.
growth in the dark and the remarkable practice of dream incubation. One of the things dreams have taught me over the years is that transformation rarely announces itself with fanfare. More often, it's happening quietly while we're busy worrying that nothing is happening at all.
It's so
We
true. It's so
often
true.
mistake stillness for stagnation, don't we, Kelly?
We
When in
do, we
reality, the
do.
deepest growth is taking place beneath the surface. Dreams
Right.
understand this instinctively. They often show us possibilities, insights, and emerging strengths long before our waking minds are able to recognize them, which is why
Right.
dream incubation, dreamafesting, I'm being like your publicist here, Kelly,
Thank you. I
is such
appreciate that,
a
Teresa. Thank
powerful,
you.
available on Amazon and all bookshops, is such
Well,
powerful practice. It
it's
allows us
so
to become
true.
active participants in the process. Instead of simply waiting for dreams to arrive, we plant an intention, ask a meaningful question just before we go to sleep, and invite our dreaming mind to help us explore it.
You
And
sound like you
Kelly, you're going to
know what
talk
you're
about
talking about.
some guests who are going to help
Hey,
us explore it today,
it's
aren't they?
true. I just want to say for anybody who's intimidated by that very big word Teresa just said, incubation. I mean, it sounds like, well, what is that? An incantation? Is that what? It's really, it's like a little meditation before you go to sleep on not just what you want, but how you'd feel once you have it, because time is an illusion. We can kind of move ourselves to that place in time when it's already there. And so there's a little piece of the equation that we have under our control. And helping us to explore this idea today about getting the things that we want in life with a little help from the dreaming mind and that realm beyond the physical. We've got George Lissos and Don Milo. Lon Milo. Does everybody call him?
Lon.
It's Lon Milo Duquette. But I want to call him Don, like he's like the Don, because, you
Well,
know,
we've had
but
the
no.
honor of already having a pre-show chat, and I
Yes,
can't
we
wait.
did. And of course, I'm going to pronounce everything wrong, but Lon Milo Duquette. And both of our guests are internationally respected authors, leading authorities in the esoteric world. And both have spent decades exploring the hidden forces that shape consciousness, transformation, and spiritual growth.
Now, before we go to the first ad break, we're going to do a listener question. Can I read
Oh,
it this week, Kelly?
okay, fine.
Please,
All right,
because
fine.
you are a
Teresa,
question
you know
pop.
what? You're quite dramatic yourself, so I'm gonna say yes. Go for it.
This one is from Callum. Dream Divas, I've heard you both talk about dream incubation. How exactly do I do it in a simple, practical way? Did I read the
Oh,
book, Kelly?
you did that very, very well, Teresa. I think you're definitely in the qualifications to be a proper thespian. Okay. Well, I kind of already answered the question a little bit, but it sounds mysterious, but it's really just something to do to you focus on what you want. I mean, it helps to have clarity. I mean, Teresa, I don't know if I've told you this, but one of the best ways to dream incubate is to be pissed off at something. I mean, Dana wouldn't like me talking about this because he's so wonderful. He's wonderful, but
Dana,
sometimes he
your
pisses me
husband.
off. He,
You
yeah,
wrote
Dana's
a
my husband.
song for this show,
But
Kelly,
yes, he
and
wrote the
you're
song for
pissed
this.
off with him. What is wrong?
No. In the past, I've been pissed off, but there's been times when I've been like angry. And that saying, don't go to bed mad, I think sometimes you have to go to bed mad because if you talk all night long, you're just going to get worse. So sometimes I'll go to bed
This is
angry
going in
and say,
direction I didn't
I
think.
promise. No, hang on. I did this a couple weeks ago where I said, angels, guides, all of you, help me figure this out. And because there was this clarity, sometimes anger or pissosity helps us get clear. I felt like they all rushed in and I had this burst in my chest of love. And I woke up in the morning and Dana and I were reset without me having to figure it out. So anyway, sometimes
Well,
you can have a simple question. Go ahead. How do
I'm going to
you
jump in,
do it?
Kelly. You've brought the darkness to this question. I
Of
should
course.
bring the light. Please,
Okay,
everyone,
fine.
before you go to sleep, think grateful, loving, and kind thoughts, not stop ones. But do think of one question. I think sometimes we have many questions in our mind. Try and focus in on one. And don't think so much about trying to solve the problem. But, just before you go to sleep, mull the problem in a loving, caring way. Gently place the question into your liminal awareness, almost like offering it to your dreaming self and saying, show me. I want to go into a song there.
I
I'm
know,
turning into
Teresa.
Miranda. British fans will know exactly who I'm talking about there. But show me what I need to understand. Curiosity works best for me when it comes to dream incubation rather than pressure.
Ooh. Oh,
You
God,
go to
yeah.
sleep demanding or forcing answers from
Oh,
your
no.
intuition, your mind is going to rebel. It doesn't like that. But go to sleep curious with your mind open. Don't you think so, Kelly?
Well, I would say in an ideal world, we go to bed curious and we go to bed open. We go to bed knowing that the universe wants for us more than we want for ourselves. So we're not trying to fight with an unyielding deity that is wanting something other. So we just line up with the good, orderly direction of the universe, ideally. But if you're like me, a little hothead sometimes, I think sometimes you can get a little pissed off because it helps to chisel the consciousness. Sometimes we can be so cloudy with all the things we want, and sometimes that intense
Okay,
energy helps
Kelly,
us to
I think
focus it.
you're in the
Okay,
air break. Two
enough.
of us
Okay.
need to have a bit of therapy talk
I'll
between
work it out. Let's go to
us.
our break, for
We're
God's
going to
sake.
explore
Let's go so we
intention,
can get to our
dreams,
work.
manifestation, and the mysterious ways inner change becomes outer change, and how your intentions can grow like a beanstalk into miracles when it's dark outside. If you want to hear more, you're in exactly the right place. So until then, Kelly,
Okay, hold that dream, everyone. We'll
I
be
said
right back.
that. Hold that dream. Hold that dream.
Teresa, you got to read the dream today. I'm saying, hold that dream, everyone. We'll
Yeah,
be
but I
right back.
improved on it. It didn't have the right tone, Kelly. Going to be honest
Johan,
here,
help me.
or any
We'll
authority or
see you on the
conviction
other
at all.
side.
Johan, our producer,
Thank
didn't
you,
even
Amy.
register your hold that dream, but he did wake up when I shouted it. So see you on the side, you lucky, lucky dreamers.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Wake up, dreamers, we're back. And now we're going to move straight into today's deeper exploration of dreams, intention, and ancient wisdom with our first special guest. We are over the moon to welcome George Lizos, spiritual teacher, psychic healer, Greek pagan priest, creator of the Intuition Mastery School, and a best-selling author. And we're going to be talking especially about one of his titles, The Secrets of Greek Mysticism. His work bridges ancient Greek spiritual tradition with modern intuition, healing, and consciousness practice.
George, it's so great to have you with us. Thank you so much for putting up with me and Teresa's crazy banter and getting up and...
Sort of rite of passage, isn't it? They have to sort of endure the two of us, you know, sort of dream diva battle that's going on.
Not everybody makes it through.
Not everybody makes it
through. I absolutely loved it. You put me in a great mood. So thank you so much for having me.
I'm so happy. Okay, George. So let's kind of pick up where Teresa and I were arguing earlier about dream incubation, that very fancy thing. Yeah. I want you to side with me. So when you think about how you approach the things that you want in your life, how do you maximize that bridge between sleep and dreams, that wonderful sandwich before and after dream time?
Yeah, so actually dream incubation, the way it was practiced in ancient Greece, it was called angimisis in Greek, and it was practiced in the ancient Asclepion temples. These were like the most ancient healing temples, like the predecessors of modern day hospitals, essentially dedicated to the Greek god Asclepius, or Asclepios in Greek, and other healing deities. And the way they would practice dream incubation is people would come to the temple, like bringing an illness or an issue they wanted answers on, whether it was something that they wanted to heal or something they wanted to bring into their lives when it comes to specifically health. And there was a whole process that they followed. I visited one of the biggest ones in Epidaurus in Greece. And I could see like up front, and there were so many different inscriptions of the miracles and the healings that were created essentially by Asclepius at the times. And essentially the process was people would come there. It was a very healing environment. So the temple bridged mind, body, spirit. It was very relaxing. It was out in nature. So people immediately got into this healing state. Then they would purify themselves both physically, energetically, and spiritually. They would go through practices to purify their diet, their exercise habits, their body, their energy. After that, they would go into a process of offerings and prayers to the god Asclepius and the gods of healing there. And we're talking about like traditional ancient Greek kind of offerings, in the sense of whether it's a sacrifice or whether it's an offering of grains or flowers, depending, fruits. And then they would enter into the Adyton. The Adyton was a special basement within the temple where they would practice angimisis, dream incubation. The idea was that patients would sleep there through the night, and then Asclepius, the god of healing, and other healing deities would come into their dreams, either heal them or give them guidance as to how they would heal. And they were free-roaming snakes, not venomous snakes, in like in the incubation, in the Adyton, in this chamber, essentially, because snakes were considered to be symbols of healing and like healing animals. And then in the morning, the final step of the process was these dreaming healer priests. They would interpret the dreams And then they would translate them to step-by-step guidance and medicinal plants and herbs and practices that would put people on a plan, essentially, to help them heal. So it was a very integrative kind of process in a very similar way that functional doctors or complementary therapy and alternative practices work today, with a combination of medicinal herbs and energy healing and making offerings and bringing it all together with dreams. So I love learning about the history of dreams and the healing power of dreams, because there's so much there. And I always tell people, New Age practices are very, very, very old age.
Old age.
We would have belonged in those temples, wouldn't we, George? All of us here actually would. That's where we'd have felt home.
But
thank you for
dance.
Coming across to the light side of the Force after Kelly's Darth Vader approach to
I resemble that remark.
George, I want to talk about your book, The Secrets of Greek Mysticism. Can you tell us what the core message is that you want people to understand from it?
Yeah, the core message of the book is, similarly, when it comes to talking about Asclepius and all the Greek gods and goddesses, we're familiar with the main 12 gods and goddesses, but there are infinite ones of them. And the main message is that the Greek gods and goddesses are not myths. They're not just mythology. We think of them as mythology, as archetypes, as energies, but they're beyond that. They're universal laws and functions. Think about the law of gravity, for example. To the ancient Greeks, that is a deity, for example. And when it comes to every single universal law, every single universal function, there is a god or goddess behind that. So when we're working with the gods and goddesses for manifestation, for example, we're working with universal laws and principles. For example, Aphrodite, who is the patron goddess of Cyprus, where I'm from, she was, well, mythologically, she's the goddess of sex, love, and beauty. But when you go back to the way that she was portrayed in Cyprus, one of her epithets, her adjectives, was Aphrodite Morpho, which means the one who gives form to things. And therefore, she's the law of form. She's a law of form. When you think about how life is created, when people come together, when bees go into flowers to pollinate them, that interaction, that merging, that's sacred sex. And that's the realm of Aphrodite. So it's about working with nature and living in alignment with the laws of nature. That is the core message of the book.
Beautiful. And it's Morpheus, because in your honor, I mean, listeners can't see this, but my backdrop is Morpheus. Was he the god of dreams?
Yes.
Visit people in their dreams.
Exactly. So exactly. The ancient Greeks saw dream as a god, as they personified everything, because what are dreams? It is a universal function. It is a universal law. And therefore, they portrayed him as this beautiful kind of god who comes and takes you into the dream state. Even death, Thanatos is a Greek word for death, and it's also like a god. They also personify death in that sense, and they had a very close connection to Morpheus because of the similar state of the two states. But it's beautiful how, when you start thinking about the Greek gods and goddesses beyond just their mythology, and you think of them as these universal functions, then you can start having a relationship with them. And by having a relationship with them, then you can bring your dreams into life. Because then it's not just, I'm just working with the law of attraction, for example. It's I'm working with Aphrodite and Zeus together, and I'm merging their two different qualities to help bring my desire to life.
Oh, I love this. I know we've got Dr. Amy, who's going to ask a question in a second, but I just have to slip in one for a sec.
Yes.
Everything you write, everything you're saying, I resonate with so much. I'm literally bursting. I've got such a fascination for all things Greek, all things gods and goddesses, and it's a big part of my psyche. The pagan priest part, I know my little inner Catholic girl is like it sounds a little scary to me, even though I love you and I love everything about you. I want you to shine a little light for anybody who's like a former Catholic, former Christian, or part of the more traditional world. What exactly is a pagan priest?
A pagan priest. Now, there are many different words for it. The actual original term is I'm a priest to the Hellenic ethnic religion, which is the religion of the ancient Greeks, essentially. But the reason people are afraid of this term is because of the Christian propaganda around this term. Essentially, when Christianity started taking over early on in the early years, they wanted to demonize anything that was not Christian. And the dominant religion at the time was earth-based religion. All earth-based religions. And therefore, they use derogatory terms such as pagan or idolatry or demons to describe what the religion and what the ancient Greek gods are. But essentially what it is I'm a practicing living practitioner, native living practitioner of the religion of my ancestors. In the same way that the Aboriginals in Australia are still honoring their religion, in the same way that Hinduism works, the Hellenic ethnic religion is very in the same category as Hinduism, because that is the religion, the ethnic religion of India, for example. So it's basically connected to our ancestral religion. And when you go to every single country has an ancestral religion that has either been suppressed or sadly died out through time.
Wow. I'd love to bring in the perspective of our resident clinical psychologist, Dr. Amy Robbins, right now, because we've talked about the spirituality, the mystical, the ancient tradition, dream incubation. Amy.
Take it away.
Okay. I might surprise you ladies here today and George, because I was actually going to go a different route than the traditional psychology route. And ask about how we would begin, just like people talk about bringing in spirit guides, how would we begin to have a relationship? And do you see sort of the Greek gods and goddesses almost like spirit guides or angels people talk about? But I've never really heard people talking about bringing in the gods and goddesses of Greek traditions. So can you talk a little about what that would look like and how we might invite that in to help us and then to help us manifest even?
Yes, of course. So when you start realizing, first of all, that the Greek gods are universal laws, then you have a different relationship with them. In a practical way, the way the ancient Greeks worked with them, they had a household practice where they set up an altar in their house, which is a surface, essentially, dedicated to the gods. And then every single month, they would work with a different god or goddess. Right now in June, we are celebrating Hermes specifically, who is a god of enlightenment, because we're honoring the festival of the month is the summer solstice, for example. And therefore, every single month, they had the Greek wheel of the year, celebrating a different god every single month for 12 months. Each god had a different purpose around manifestation, starting with Hera in January and setting your desires, and then culminating to Hestia in December with reestablishing your basis and your center. And then every month you have your altar with the statue of the god or a symbol of the god that you want. And then they made offerings and libations. So a very easy practice is to make an offering of either grains or flowers or fruits, and then libations of wine to the ancient Greek gods. So very simply, setting up your altar, reciting a hymn or a prayer to the god. There are many or freely available ancient Orphic hymns online that people can download and access. Reading the hymn, making a libation of red wine in a essentially a ceramic bowl, and then some offerings of grains. And the gods don't really need that. It's us who need that. So by making that offering and that libation, we create an energetic bridge between us and the gods. The gods have everything. They are everything. We're all swimming in this ocean of the gods. By making that offering, we're extending part of ourselves into the spirit world, bridging the sacred and the profane world so that we can feel the gods' grace within us and so that we can communicate with them and receive the guidance that will allow us to take action towards manifesting our dreams. So it's not just, oh, I'm just going to pray, the gods will come in. The gods are giving you guidance. The gods are showing up, but they're also giving you guidance on the steps you need to take forward.
George, I can hear the passion in your voice, and I have the honor of being able to see you as well. And people who come to your mystery school are so fortunate. And I love the fact that Amy, our resident clinical psychologist, actually wanted to go really deep into what you were saying. And actually, the reason we have Kelly is to sort out the differences between me and Kelly in the break.
Amy, yeah, she's the referee.
She's the referee.
You know, it's all in love. I'm the Aphrodite. She's the
Morpheus, Matrix. She's the Matrix. George, where can people find out about you, order your books, find out more?
So you can find my book, Secrets of Greek Mysticism, Ancient Manifestation Secrets, on Amazon, everywhere you get books. And you can go to my website, georgelizos.com, and on Instagram, where I live, georgelizos, @georgelizos, to find out more information about me.
People have to know to spell your name is Lizos, George. That's Lizos.
Perfect, yes. Said in English. Said.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I love hearing you talk, and I have to, Teresa, I don't know, I have to plug one of my little oracle cards, Dream Goddess. I had a whole moment of my life going, taking a deep dive into the goddesses and inviting them into dreams. So I just had to plug that. And there's a Broadway show called Hades Town. Have you heard of this, George, or seen it?
I saw it and loved it in Broadway, and I'm going to see it again this coming August in Broadway, second time.
I saw it twice on Broadway. It was so good, the story of Orpheus and Eurydice, and it's a whole different way of looking at Hades and Persephone, and oh, it was so magical. So yeah, your timing, you're right on time, and George, it's so wonderful to have you.
Thank you for being our miracle in the heat here and in the dark. Thank you, because I know you have to rush off, but thank you so much for your time today. I think it's a perfect place to pause now, because it brings us right back to today's theme, which is growth in the dark and the idea that something is already forming before we can see it. And waiting in the wings to join our extraordinary conversation is real practical magic in the darkness. Lon Milo Duquette.
So yes, and I think it's Duquette.
Duquette,
and
I know. That's why
Lon Milo Duquette. Lon Milo Duquette. Lon Milo Duquette. Duquette. Don't go anywhere. We'll see you on the darker side.
The light side.
On the dark side.
Light.
Because there's light in the dark.
This is light at the end of the Sleeping Beauty, the Disney movie. Pink, blue, pink.
On the other side, says Amy. See you there.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Congratulations, everyone. You made it through the light and darkness into the final part of today's show. I think this should be some kind of award or something.
Yes.
For listeners who hang on in there.
For sure.
Thank you.
Yes, exactly. A star on the forehead.
We are delighted to be back, dreamers, and to welcome our next special guest, Lon
Milo
Duquette.
Duquette. Lon Milo Duquette. Everybody, Lon Milo Duquette. He's an American writer and one of the most respected voices in the Western mystery traditions. He's the author of over 20 books, an authority on tarot, Kabbalah, and ceremonial magic. And he's widely known for his work on Aleister Crowley, not Crowley,
Crowley,
and the Ordo Templi Orientis, with a gift for making complex esoteric ideas both clear and human. So, Lon, welcome to the show. And I just have to say, I've been taking a deep dive into your work, and I am so honored to have you here. You've been showing up in my dreams, and I've been saying, Lon, Not now. And I've been reading, I just read Young Aleister Crowley, and your book is incredible. Oh my God. And as I was saying in the earlier section with George Lizos, I was raised Catholic. I was raised like there's good angels and then everything else is bad and demonic and so scary. So there's still a tiny little bit of that in here, but you demystify all of that. So please demystify for people that think Aleister Crowley is the worst thing. Give us, like, who is he really?
Oh, wow.
just that. Let's just go there.
I don't know who anybody is.
Who are you? Let's just talk about you.
I don't know who I am.
I'm still trying to find out who I am. But Crowley, you know, I've studied Crowley and read his works and went on his magical program and everything else for the last now 50 years. And
you're the authority of Aleister Crowley. I mean, if people want to know who he is, what was he all about, they just need to go no further than to you. So just needed to
Well, they
throw that
should
in
go
there.
Further than
nah.
But I'm often who they come to first. He was I will say he was a holy man, okay? But holy men are often not understood, okay? The Indians have a holy man named Ramakrishna, okay? Brilliant, illuminated character, but he was a wild and crazy guy, okay? If we would look at his life and behavior just objectively as a, you know, a Western person, you'd say, that guy's absolutely crazy.
You'd whisper it. You don't want him to hear it.
Yeah. Well, Crowley was brilliant. Okay. And Crowley was a very kind of rebellious guy. He had a bad reputation because he cultivated a bad reputation. It was almost like once he latched on to what he realized was his spiritual life work, not only for himself, but for humanity as a whole. He was in the position of saying any publicity is good
ahead of his time.
Yes, he's still ahead of his time, actually, in many respects. He delighted in the idea of being able to freak out the freak outable.
Oh,
in a sense, it was like a governor, how he would filter out people that weren't quite ready, or their minds hadn't been expanded enough to almost safely handle this new point of view, and so he would rather have them scared of him than prematurely waste their time.
We're talking about the mature man here, you know, and, you know, wild stories about him, many of them dark. But interestingly, your book, you focus on his youth, the young Aleister Crowley. Tell me why you did that. And also, in his youth, how important were dreams and visionary-like states?
I think they were continually important to him. The visionary states were his technology. especially his use of the Enochian magic system of the Elizabethan magus John Dee, where literally you hear about seventh heavens and layers of heavens and things in Islamic mysticism and such. The Enochian magic looked at the whole field of consciousness from the singularity of Godhead down to your head and sort of breaks them into 30 levels. And those levels would be like a particular frequency of consciousness that you go to in dreams or in visions and stuff. And the scientific approach of John Dee and Crowley were, okay, I'm going to break this up into 30 sections. And there's a technology that works with an angelic language, even that sort of triggers you into that particular frequency of consciousness, and that you scry, or you look into a mirror, or you are conscious of your dreams that night. But you're consciously going through each higher frequency of consciousness. You're doing it willfully, and just like the Egyptian Book of the Dead is a passing from doorway to doorway to doorway, passing the pylons. Okay,
and the youth aspect. I'm interested why you were so drawn to sharing more about his youth.
It's a novel, first of all. Okay, I don't write novels. That's the story. 18 years ago, I was approached by James Burkowski, who was a writer, a film writer, and a film producer. And he said, I need a script about Aleister Crowley, you know, because I think I can get it. I can get it produced. And I said, I don't write fiction, and I don't write scripts. I've never written a script. He says, I'll help you. I'll give you a final draft program, and we'll work it out. And so I eventually, when he said he'd pay me,
that always helps.
That never hurts. I said, well, how fast do you want it? You know, so I didn't know what to choose. So I thought I would, because no one really has focused on the young Aleister Crowley, just as he was finding out who he was, just as he was finding out what magic is all about and such. And he, when he was 24 years old, he joined this Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, which was populated by some of the most celebrated literary characters of the day, William Butler Yeats and the great
Bram
actress.
Stoker.
Yeah.
Bram Stoker was pretty fictional in my story, but
I liked him in your story.
Yeah. But anyway, so Crowley did actually interact with all of these people, and Crowley's naivete, his youthful naivete, was a catalyst that completely destroyed the Golden Dawn. Okay, and there were magical duels. I mean, in real life, okay, there was magical duels back and forth between Mathers and Crowley and it's a very interesting part of Crowley's life, and I fictionalized it. Okay, for the didn't claim to be a biography, didn't claim to be, but using Aleister Crowley as as an example of Aleister Crowley, if that makes any sense to you at all.
It does.
Just imagine this, if we all love the Indiana Jones movies, the Raiders of the Lost Ark and things like that. And we just love the character, Indiana Jones. Wouldn't it be absolutely awesome if we would find out that Spielberg actually based it on a real guy, that there really was an Indiana Jones, and not only that, but his story was even far more interesting.
You know, Lon, I think every guy and girl, gal listening has an inner Indiana Jones. And in our dreams, of course, every night, we can be Indiana Jones or Lara Croft, can't we? Oh,
I
and
love the I love the youth aspect because when especially taking, I mean, like the young, there was a Spielberg did a series called Young Indiana Jones, and I
yes,
don't a friend of mine played his mother. Anyway, but I think it is it's a very clever approach to give us a little bit of the underbelly, the vulnerability, the youth, the fool, as he's becoming this great and powerful man, so that we can sort of relate to him in some way. The goat story, though, I thought was brilliant. That'll stay with me forever when he's talking about to the Sherpas and the goat god or the
the
I don't know
mountain.
if there's time for you to talk about that before I know Amy's chomping at the bit to ask her question here, but I just thought it was so clever that he was such a provocateur that he would you tell the story if you would
Well,
briefly so we can get Amy in.
in the story, in a sense, he was always just one step away of being in touch with I guess you would say God consciousness. He was always one, and his audacity and his naivete, and a certain sense his eternally adolescent innocence throughout all of these wild things. Is in and of itself that same magic that Ramakrishna character had, and only a few people at the time could appreciate it, but those who did just really appreciate it. The story you're talking about was based on a real event in his life. Crowley was, among other things, a world record holding mountaineer. His mountain climbing expeditions in the Himalayas, he spent more time at a certain altitude on the Baltoro Glacier than any other human without oxygen ever did before that. The record still holds. Just go to a mountain climbing, book and see the records. Crowley's still there. But two of his native Sherpas died or fell in that particular expedition, and which is a tragic thing. But when Crowley got back to India, and word got out that two of the Sherpas had died, one of the reporters asked, "Didn't two of your Sherpas, die? They were under your leadership there," and of course they did, Crowley said yes. And jokingly, he said, "I ate them."
Provocateur, that man.
He says that you really get hungry in those altitudes, and they took it seriously. And by the time he got back to England and the Alpine Club, the Adventurers Club got a hold of. Is it true that you killed and ate two of your Sherpas? And it was such a ridiculous question that Crowley said, yeah,
It's irreverent.
What's that got to
And
do with a goat? I can't see the connection with the goat.
because there's a goat, there's a goat god that he said, I am the goat god and I needed to feast. And it was like he created this
Right.
reputation before
Well,
he
he had to, and he actually had to do that because when he came back to the base camp and the other Sherpas said, where are our other two guys? And Crowley had learned that his the climbing party had killed and deserted the German climbing party the year before. So they had hired murderers
Oh, this
already.
is going so dark,
I
Kelly.
told you,
Too
Teresa, we
dark.
said we were going to go to the dark side because
No,
there's
I'm going
light in
to
all of it.
be. Let's bring in a
So,
force of light, Dr. Amy Robbins.
Amy, let's sh shine a little
favor,
light.
Shine a light into this darkness. You come and be our miracle.
We love you, Lon.
Should I embody the voice of Phil right now?
Yes.
Because I'm
Yes.
representing Phil today.
No, you are Amy. You are fully Amy.
I'm fully me in all my
Yeah.
light.
Yes.
So, how do you think that this very interesting man who I'm first being introduced to today would
Really?
be? Yeah, I'd never heard of him
Where have
before.
you been, Amy?
Well,
Apparently,
welcome. You're
under a
welcome,
rock here
Amy.
on the other side of the pond. How do you think Crowley would be perceived today? Do you think he would be as feared, or do you think he'd be
Revered.
revered?
No, he'd sort of be an A-list celebrity.
He'd be guesting on our show, wouldn't he?
He would
It's
not.
kind of like a Russell Crowe character. I picture a Russell Crowe pl playing him, sort of.
Russell Crowe could really play the
Crowley.
older Crowley.
Yeah.
Why do you think he'd
You
be
know
so
who
revered today?
what's that?
Why do you think he'd be so revered today
I don't
versus
know if he'd
feared
be
today?
revered, but he would certainly not be a figure of terror and superstitious reaction. He would be, sort of be on the same level as a Timothy Leary
Ramdas.
Robert Anton Wilson or Ram Dass. Things, he'd be there, okay. I think the world as a whole, culture as a whole, Western culture as a whole, would be more open to the obvious amusement level of Crowley. He was.
All information, opinions, and content shared on UK Health Radio, including our website, podcasts, and the Health Triangle magazine, are provided by independent authors, producers, and organizations. This content is intended for general informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the guidance of a qualified healthcare professional with any questions you may have regarding your health or a medical condition. Never disregard, delay, or alter professional medical advice based on information obtained through UK Health Radio.
Gentlemen, I just want to say thank you for the decades of research, scholarship, good humor,
Good humor, good
shining
humor.
light into darkness. And before
Yeah.
we close the show, just in a sentence, George, first of all, where can people find out about you or your book? Can you tell us in a sentence what when you're going through a period of inner darkness, what helps you stay connected to meaning, guidance, or inner trust? What helps
Lon
you?
Milo Duquette. Lon, how do you come out of the darkness when you're feeling that way?
Oh, I mostly just wallow in it.
Write a song
Kelly
about it.
Our soulmate.
Oh, Lon, my soulmate.
Thank you. And where can people find out about you, Lon?
Oh, just everywhere. Just Google me. I'm on all my books are on Amazon. My music's on Amazon and Spotify.
Songwriter as well. You are a joy. Thank you so much again for being such a legend and for being on our show with such grace and humor and offering a little illumination. So grateful to both George Lizos and Lon Milo Duquette, Kelly, and to the wonderful Dr. Amy Robbins, of course, being our guest presenter for joining us. And before we go, we have a very important Dream Diva announcement, Kelly. We've realized something crucial about our song, The Healing Power of Your Dreams. It's required listening for anyone in the
show. It's required listening. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Learn the lyrics.
It's so true. It's so true. So we're playing the song. So you can only hear the song now by listening to our show at the beginning or at the end. And what we want is for you to tell us, what is your favorite lyric that you keep singing? Yeah. And share it with us on Instagram or TikTok. Yeah. I think the Teresa Chung and just Kelly S. Walden. Yeah, and we'd love to hear what your favorite.
You can't get it out of your head because we are going to test you on it. You've got to
learn. Here's my favorite line at the moment. Yeah. There's a compass in the chaos.
Of course you would be. Johan
there's
is
a light behind
this, our producer. Broken, turning broken pieces into wings. That's what we love. So maybe just learn one line and to play out the show. Kelly, you can say, take it away, Johan. I'll give you that. I'm feeling generous because I'm the light side of the force, okay?
Okay. I'll let you have that, Teresa. All right, everyone, thank you so much for joining us. Keep singing, keep dreaming. The healing power of your dreams. Sing it with me, Teresa. It's calling through the night, turning broken pieces into wings.
The healing power of your dreams.
Yeah, and we'll see. And if you want to share a video of your own interpretive dance, we'd love to see that.
Manifest your inner Kate Bush, as well as Indiana Jones. And Johan is frowning. We've got to stop talking. We're spoiling the song.
Sweet dreams.
When the world gets loud and the daylight steals my soul, close my eyes and let the deeper river flow. Every fear I've carried, every wound I try to hide, finds a sacred language in the silence of the night. There's a wisdom.